I'm going to just do a collage today. It's going to be a collage. You like that? Exciting when you get a collage, eh? N'est-ce pas? Hebrews 4. I'm going to give you time to go there. Hebrews 4, I'm going to read it to you, verse 12. I'll start at verse 11 if you get to verse 12. What the heck, I'll start at verse 9. So, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's why they don't get up and go to church on Sunday morning. They're still remaining on their Sabbath rest. For the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fail. So that, how many fail? No one will fail. Through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, to both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, we want to get our spirits going today. Our scripture last week was we that live by faith and not by sight, right? And This is an interesting verse for us. For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now, the heart in Scripture is the spirit. He's talking about spirit and heart. They are interchangeable, unless it means the physical heart. In other words, he got the spear in his heart. Could mean that he had the spear in his heart. But otherwise, the hidden man of the heart is the spirit man. And you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. So, the soul is an intellectual capacity, an emotional capacity. A dog has a soul. He can feel happy. He can feel afraid. He can feel that he'll be rewarded. He can look forward to the bone that his master brings. But a dog is not a spirit being. Humans are spirit beings. Demons are spirit beings. Angels are spirit beings. God is a spirit. Now, God has a soul. And if any man shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him, Scripture says. So God can rejoice and be happy over you, but he is a spirit. That's what Jesus said anyway. And it's important that you don't get confused, because if you walk carnally or temporally or externally or sensually, in other words, by the senses, by the sight, you can lose touch with the Spirit. James says if your words go to your soul too much, if your words are loose and based on feelings, you can deceive your own spirit. Because Ephesians says one of the jobs in the church is the washing of the water of the word. Why is the word important? Well, the word is living and active and able to differentiate between the soul and the spirit. When they all objected to Jesus, you remember he fed thousands and thousands. This is in the Gospel of John. And they came running around the lake to find him the next day. And he said, why are you here? And they said, well, you know, you had lunch yesterday. We'd like lunch today. There was a strategic planner from the Boeing Corporation that got fired because they fired 66% of all their people back in the 1980s. There was a billboard in Seattle saying, well, the last person to leave Seattle, please turn out the lights. There was a billboard on the I-5. And they had a downturn. So they had about 150,000 people working there, and they fired 100,000 of them, which makes a little bit of an impact on a city that's smaller than Winnipeg. And Seattle's, I think, still smaller than Winnipeg, but there are cities around it. Make the area bigger. So one of Boeing's strategic planners ended up working in the Canadian consulate where I was working at the time. He told me something very important. He told me a few things that were very important. But one day he said, you can get more done with a hot dog than you can with 10 weeks of work, he said. And so he would always throw some food out there whenever he tried to gather customers or contacts or anything. And we had a hospitality budget. Like, you know, that was back in the 1980s, and they didn't blink an eye if I went out and spent $400 on dinner. It was more than just me. But I'd be entertaining the big boys from some of the big organizations. Now, they came running around the Sea of Galilee and said, you know, we want you. And Jesus starts saying, well, eat my body, drink my blood. Because you just showed up for the food. And I'm not feeding you today. Eat my body, drink my blood. They all got offended, right? And afterwards, the disciples kind of came to Jesus and said, you're talking pretty tough here. This is not the kind of religion we want. And he says, well, you're not too smart. You guys aren't the best tool in the shed. This is the unabridged version. And he said, the flesh counts for nothing. Now, he didn't say wasn't important and he didn't love it. He said, it just counts for nothing. Your soul is part of your flesh. Body and soul. When someone talks about their flesh, there was an old expression used to be, I'm just trying to keep body and soul together. They didn't really understand that. They thought the soul just went to heaven. They didn't get much illumination and when that saying came out. But it's your spirit that goes to heaven and your soul follows your spirit. Now, if the soul is just part of the flesh, and Jesus said, the flesh counts for nothing, and then he said something interesting, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. So it's important to get our spirits going to really understand life. To have life and have it more abundantly, it's a spiritual exercise, not a soulish exercise. For the Word of God is living. The words that I speak are spirit and life. For the Word of God is living. and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Many people wonder, well, there are some in the church who don't think there's a difference, don't even know about a difference. SOS means what? Does it mean save our spirits? No, it means save our souls. Save our ship. If it's in a, you know, save our Saturdays. Save our souls is the one I hear most often. The division of soul and spirit, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the word helps you get past the soul to the heart. When you begin to understand that, you begin to understand how you operate. You got born again because your spirit, Jesus says in John 3 to Nicodemus, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So the spirit got born again. You're an eternal spirit. You are a spirit. It's been put this way. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So when Jesus was about to be physically tortured to death, when the flesh was really being crucified, he said something. He said, "Now is my soul troubled unto death." If we can get this separated a little bit in our minds, we can help ourselves realize whether we are drifting in the realm of the soul. When you drift in the realm of the soul, you become intellectually oriented, mentally oriented, rationally oriented, and all those things are there in the spirit. But you become oriented into those things that interact with the world. The place you're in, the temperature you're in, the climate you're in, the economy you're in, the society you're in, the feelings you're in. Remember, we have said you can enjoy the Lord very much. But you don't, in the kingdom, you don't spend emotion. You can spend faith. Many people try to spend emotion because they've been orienting themselves to the soul. They've been orienting themselves to whether it makes sense or whether they feel they can believe. And it's not an exercise of can believe. What does Romans 10:17 say? Now then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Unto every man there's been given a measure of faith. There's been given the word of faith, is the way Paul put it in Romans 10. We're preaching the word of faith. Why was it a word of faith? It was a word of faith because the word was spiritual. If you know when your spirit's working and your soul's not working, or your soul's working and your spirit's not working, you can help hold yourself steady. Because if the spirit, which is born again and has access to grace and power and life, can get a hold of, can steady your soul, then the spiritual benefit, the grace that is for the soul, which is called peace, the punishment that gave us peace, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So not only can the body be looked after, by his stripes were you healed, but also your soul. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. So, we're trying to differentiate a little bit. And the word helps us, for the word is living and active. And the word helps you understand what is a spiritual response and what is a soulish response. They may look the same, but as you keep going, you'll get to distinguish a voice that's, first of all, from the Holy Spirit versus other spirits, and voices that are from the world instead of from any spirit, but just the crowd, the peers. The mind, Romans 6 says, the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So, the word's alive and active. Now go over to Hebrews 11. And in verse 6 it says something interesting. Here the writer says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So now go to Romans 10. And verse 10. Let's do verse 9 first. Then if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. The distinguishing between soul and spirit, or into the level of the heart, Hebrews 4:12 says. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes. So there's a first instruction on the difference between soul and spirit. Scriptural faith, spiritual faith, the believing is with the heart. Soulish faith, what the world would call faith or believing, is often with the head or with the senses. Seeing, the world says, seeing is believing. God doesn't say that. God says something different. But the world in its soul says seeing is believing. The scripture says, with the heart, man believes. And that's why it's important to keep your spirit working. Because it means you're walking by faith, not by sight. By the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, Romans says, these are the sons of God. So back to Hebrews 11. Don't have to go back there, just remember it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. How do you believe that, scripturally? With the heart. How does that believing come? From the Word. From the Word. If there isn't much Word in you, there isn't much believing in you, scripturally, spiritually. But you can say, well, I don't believe that because I didn't see it. Sometimes people want to believe, and this is where James says, be careful what you are hearing, because you can deceive your heart. They're believing words that aren't the Word of God or the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you're hearing another voice, if you're hearing other things, do you believe Brian Pallister is going to win the provincial election? Well, yes, I do, because I saw the polls. Yes, I do, because I talked to my neighbors. Yes, I do, because of what I see and hear. Do you believe Elizabeth May will win, become the Prime Minister of Canada? Well, no, I don't, because I saw the polls. I mean, you have no idea what people are thinking out there other than what somebody has reported to you, and you're hearing that. And you begin to form a belief. But it's based in the soul, in the intellect, in the hearing of words that are not from God. So if the doctor tells you you're not well and you'll never be well, do you believe that? Is there another belief in your spirit? The believing of the spirit, the heart, that can move against that. Sometimes things in the spirit are hard to understand. Sometimes they're cloaked a little bit. For with the heart a person believes. This is a spiritual formula. This is the guy who has said just a little bit before, the flesh does things you don't want it to. Well, not only does it do the bad it would not, you would not, and the good that you would, you do not. That's the flesh. But it will believe things it shouldn't. And the things you should believe, it won't. I'd like to believe, but I can't. People have come to me for prayer and said, I'd like to believe. I said, can you believe with me? I want to know where they're at. Can you believe with me that you'll be healed? Well, no, because the doctor said something different. Can you believe the doctor will be successful? Well, they say there's only a 60% chance of success. Well, can you believe that you'll be in the 60, not the 40? Yes, I can believe that. Then that's where we go. Because actually, you can put yourself in the 60, or you can put yourself in the 40. The same way you can put yourself into heaven, or you can put yourself into hell. You can choose this day whether you'll have life or death. You can choose this day. I was getting more reports this week. I was telling Sigmar that if he would give me a hamburger today and I would maybe pay him on Tuesday, I was telling him about this guy who was a Yazidi. You all know the Yazidis, their Christian group in Iraq that were being wiped out by ISIS. And they were just systematically trying to kill them all. And they took this guy And they captured him, and they tortured him. And then they poured 20 gallons of gas on him and lit it. He said, "They burned me, but I wouldn't burn." I saw a picture of him. No scars, nothing. They did it 3 times. He wouldn't burn. And when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you, is a scripture that you're entitled to pick up. The scripture is still working. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. That's one of the reasons it's important to get your spirit working, so that the things that you desire are possible. Jesus said something. They came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus said something interesting to his disciples. That noisy child. But actually, no, this was an epileptic child. They brought to him an epileptic child, and they said, I asked your disciples, the father said, I asked your disciples to cast this demon out, and he couldn't do it. And he said, "You're a perverse and unbelieving generation. How long will I put up with you? How long will I be with you?" And then he said something interesting that every good born-again Christian would say. "Bring him to me." So they brought him to him. And he said, "How long has he been this way?" to the father. And he says, "Oh, since he was a kid, you know." And the demon throws him in the fire and in the water. And he says, "But if you can," and I brought him to your disciples, they couldn't do anything, "but if you can do something, help him." And that something jarred Jesus, because he left the track of ministering this boy and he went to the father and he said, "If you can, all things are possible." And then he added something interesting: "To him who believes." A lot of people won't even accept that, even people who are born again. But Jesus made a point of saying it. Now I have a question for you. Was Jesus talking about believing with the soul or believing with the heart when he said that? So we want to get our spirits working, or you will begin to deceive your heart with your experience. I remember somebody, I liked his style. He was a really good piano player. I liked his style. And he's a good preacher. He's an evangelist. His name was Jimmy Swaggart. He could play almost as good as Linton can. He's good. And one day, he used to preach up a good storm. And then he got in trouble, and he kind of collapsed for a while. And he came back and became a big evangelist in South America. He was big in Brazil, places like that. Ministry was good. He loved to worship. That's one of the things I liked about him. He loved to worship. He loved to take over the piano and worship. But one day he said, he was Pentecostal. So, of course, he believed full gospel, right? Yes? Okay. We'll carry that on later. Okay. Answer is probably yes. Anyway, one day he said, God doesn't always heal. I know this because I have prayed for people and they didn't get well. He was beginning to substitute his experience for the scripture. Not everybody goes to heaven. I know people who have accepted the Lord Jesus and they went to hell. Well, I don't actually. But if I had that experience, could I substitute that for the scripture? The objective here is to begin to operate in the spirit enough that the scripture becomes useful and achievable, rather than to try and judge it with your soul, your experience, or your emotions. Or as John Wimber, the starter of the Vineyard Church, said, I had prayed for about 1,000 people before I got the first one healed. But his church was built on two things, by the way, worship and miracles. And I know people who were in John Wimber meetings, and people who had been in wheelchairs all their life got out of the wheelchairs. And after about 20 years, John Wimber decided that the fivefold ministry no longer existed and that miracles didn't happen anymore. His church was built on it. But somehow he had shifted to the soul. And he actually renounced acts of power, works of power. One of the Corinthian manifestations. He fell into James, where he began to doubt the word. And maybe because his experience didn't yield anymore. It was interesting. There's another guy, his name was Kenneth Hagin. He was interesting because he was part of the big healing revival. And he said, the guy who had the highest healing percentage that he knew was a grade 4 educated farmer. He couldn't get too far into the soul. He never went to Bible school because they wouldn't let him in. And he just was a farmer and he just believed God. And one day the Lord told him to heal somebody. And he told him how to do it. And he said that guy was getting 90% plus people healed. Now, did Jesus get 100% healed? No. Remember when he went home and they would not believe who he was? Scripture says he could there do no mighty works. He could only heal a few minor ailments. You see, you can exclude yourself from what Ephesians 2 calls the commonwealth. The commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of the kingdom. And he said, that guy, he said, when we were doing well, when we had time just to focus on healing, and he would just have healing crusades. He'd go 5 weeks, he'd preach healing every night. And he says, and we would get people healed. But he said, when we were really sharp in our spirits, when we were operating in our spirits a lot, we weren't doing things in our head, we weren't doing publicity, and we weren't doing communications, and we weren't doing handshakers and teas and coffees, we were just staying before the Lord. He said we would get over 80% healing when we allowed the manifestations of the Spirit to flow through. But he said this guy with this grade 4 educated farmer would get over 90%. And he had one technique that the Lord had taught him. He would spit on his hand, a big gob of spit, and he would rub it on whatever was wrong. And if you came up and you had the flu, he'd spit on his hand and he'd rub it on your forehead. He said some farmer came up into one of his meetings and he had lost his arm. and he spit on his hand and rubbed it on the stump, and the arm grew out right there in the meeting. He said that guy had success. But he had learned to operate in one area of the Spirit. I would call it a gift of healing. But some people would say that was a miracle. I don't know. So if you're operating in the Spirit, here's a few little tips. Go to Galatians 5. When you are hearing words, we know that words are associated with faith and words are associated with the Spirit. Jesus tells you when you want to operate power in the Spirit, he would always tell you, you do two things. Exactly what Romans 10:10 told us. You believe with your heart and you say with your mouth. Now, some people struggle because they're trying to believe with their feelings or even with their intellect. In other words, they're trying to believe with their soul and not with their heart. Do you remember Peter getting out of the boat? And he takes a few steps, and then his intellect takes over. It's windy out here. The waves are big. Now, his intellect wasn't that great, because you should know that wind has nothing to do with walking on water. That's a different kind of thing. It's a different rule. It's a different area of the physics. But when seeing that, he became afraid and he began to sink. And he said, save me, Lord. Jesus saved him. You can always get back to the Lord. But he said, why did you doubt? Well, the reason he doubted was, the scripture says, seeing the waves and the wind boisterous. I guess it was a loud wind. He'd seen that before. That's why they didn't know if it was Jesus. If it's you, Jesus, tell me to come. Wasn't sure. It's windy. The waves are crashing. Jesus says, come. That one word was enough to get out of a boat and defy the laws of gravity. That one word. And Peter was eager enough and simple enough, childlike enough, that his spirit could grab it without his head getting in the way. But four steps later, and that may not be accurate, it might have been five. But four steps later, his head takes over. It's like a counterattack in disease. I thought I was well, but I feel a symptom. So now I will no longer believe in my heart. I will allow my head to work me out of this. Well, that would never happen to us, would it? It happened to Jimmy Swaggart. And he could play. Now, if I can keep my spirit working, Galatians 5. It's another scripture I want to get you to. The one I wanted to get to was 5:7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord. You will adopt no other view. Go down to 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The soul will set up against your spirit. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. We're getting a few of those these days out there. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. Interestingly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If the words you're getting from the Scripture or from your spirit are bringing those things to you, faith comes by hearing, but also peace and self-control and other things of the Spirit. If the fruit, see, if the word you're hearing is alarming or causing you to fear, that word is carnal. If it's causing you to be angry, it's fleshly. But if it's causing you to come into a peace and a joy and a faith and a self-control, you're probably operating more in your spirit than in your soul. And why do I say if it's a word? Because this is a fruit, and the seed is the word. The sower sows the word. The words that I speak are spirit. And when I see what comes from the word, that it is the fruit of the Spirit, I know it was something I can put my faith in. As you grow in faith, you'll be able to take more words from the Lord than you could before. You'll be able to move up in your ability to operate in faith. So the things you used to deny will begin to move over into the category of things you put into the realm of all things are possible for him who believes. The place you start is in your salvation, your health, your strength, and your peace. Peter says we are to receive the word in order to grow with respect to salvation. But there is a kingdom beyond salvation. And most of the New Testament is written about the kingdom, not about salvation. We won't go there right now. But if you are able to focus on the Spirit and enlarge your spiritual capacity, then all things become yours, is the way Paul put it. All things are possible, is the way Jesus put it. The spiritual man is above the flesh man. That was largely what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 was busy saying. Your spirit's not working very much unless you're trying to please God. What do you mean you're trying to please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Go to him and believe that he will reward you in something that you can believe. You can grow with your faith. But what God is also doing is growing your spirit to hear and to receive. Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. This is Hebrews 11:6. I'm reading out of Colossians chapter 3. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking every day. Go to God, believing He is, and that He is rewarding you now with something. Don't argue with Him about time. He didn't necessarily promise times, but He did say categories of time. If you cry day and night, He'll reward you quickly. That's Luke 18. But Mark 11:24 says, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received, and they shall be given to you, granted you, depending on your translation. That's why I like what... I'll tell you the Bill Winston story, then we'll go. Colossians 3. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. The spirit has to get strong enough to take speculations captive, to set your mind. Until you can set your mind, it'll keep drifting back and you'll walk in your soul. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. You've got to get out of the sight game, out of the worldly game, the flesh game. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Now that is true in an eternal sense, the return of Christ. But it is also true in the revelation that flows with, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Or as Peter would put it, pay attention to this word, to these promises, as to a light shining in a dark place. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and His glory shall be seen upon you. There is a transforming of the spiritual thing, force, energy, that faith produces, the thing that is possible for him who believes. It is not possible by trying to believe with your soul. So the scripture says, please God by believing He is and that He is rewarding you. Believe He is rewarding you. Believe something is coming. I know people that believed things for 20 years and got them. Okay, we can't. There's a lot of things here. But what I'm trying to say is summed up in this. The more you are active spiritually, the more certain words will quicken to you, and others will become noise. The ones you want to quicken to you are the wisdom and the promises and the provisions. Every spiritual blessing laid up in the heavenly realms. That poor rich man that came to Jesus was told, go sell everything, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And he had no concept of heavenly blessings getting to him. The born-again person already has proof of heavenly blessings. If you knew the heavenly gift, Jesus said. The born-again person, he wasn't born again. He was just trying to figure out how to get to heaven. He wanted a law. And Jesus took care of his money. And he said, you'll have treasure in heaven. I'll take care of that. You're obeying me, I'll take care of that. Then follow me. He had no concept. So he went away sad. Jesus' comment was, he's in his soul. He's not in the spirit. Or he said, how hard it is for the rich man to get into heaven. Because the rich man, his mind, is how he perceives wealth is in the mind. It's not in the body. Money is an abstract concept. It's an intellectual concept. Or as the rich farmer said, soul, thou hast much goods. That was another Jesus' parables, right? So, let's see if we can get that piano player up here. I want you to think of the last time you heard Jimmy Swaggart play, and you'll notice we got a better one.